The other idea is to generate a very strong magnetic field, which would be able to cause a repulsion of the cosmic radiation. Is much lighter than the water shield. It's feasible, but there is a very strong magnetic field which could be a health hazard for the astronauts. So also this solution is not optimal. And there's another quite smart idea to have the spaceship made positive charged by just, I don't know how this can be done, but just to send a beam of electrons, just to discharge electron in space. This way the spaceship will remain positive charged, and since the cosmic radiation, the most dangerous element are nuclei of iron which are positively charged, they will be repulsed by the positive charge of the spaceship. And this is light, is not dangerous to the health of the astronaut, but requires enormous amount of electricity to do something like that. However, we are now in 2011. The mission will take place in 20, 30 years. I think the technological progress may help us to find a solution to this problem, which at the moment is quite serious. The other idea, when they are staying on the Mars, there are also considerable cosmic radiation. So one possibility, if they are staying long time, maybe months or years later on, to build up shelters beneath the surface of Mars. But of course, these are starting to be serious technological and financial problems. I just want to show you some panorama from Mars. The American sent to the Mars 36 years ago, a Viking, which landed on Mars and sent a beautiful picture. The Viking was trying to find traces of life on Mars, but was not successful. Anyway, it's a beautiful sunset pictured by the Viking spaceship many years ago. And this was Spirit, was the other sound which landed on Mars and sent beautiful picture. And again, we have a sunset on Mars taken about 30 years later. So this is the kind of panorama. On Mars, there is also a lot of snow. And one of these Spirit was able to take picture of an avalanche, a snow avalanche, which is coming down from the mountain. And you see here the dust of ice, which is coming out. So it's real, a living planet. There is a lot of water, and there are speculation that beneath, under the surface of Mars, there could be life, traces of primitive life. Medical problems, psychological problems on such a mission. You see telescience. Now, this is one of the astronauts on space station today. They have a lot of sensors, and it takes few seconds to communicate with the ground station, and they can control many parameters, blood parameters, heart parameters, body temperature, and so on. So they are under perfect medical control. However, if they are flying to Mars and they are on Mars, the communication are much more difficult because the time required to send one-way signal is 22 minutes in the worst case and about 3 minutes in the best case, depending where the two planets, I mean the Earth and Mars, are positioned. From time to time, the Mars is very close to the Earth. From time to time, Mars is on the other side of the Earth. So it will not be so easy in case of an emergency to communicate very fast. So it takes, let's say, in average 10 minutes to send the message and 10 minutes to get an answer back. This is the hygiene, the shower they have now on space station. They can brush their teeth, wash their body, and so on. The toilet, The toilet has always been a problem on the space shuttle and also space station. It works, but it doesn't work very well all the time. There is a sterilization and the ozonization in order to sterilize not only for biology, but also surgical instrument if it's necessary. And they also attempt to instruct the astronaut, which of course most of them are not medical doctors, to carry out very simple surgery operation if it's necessary. So these are all kind of studies which are carried out by the space agencies. Ethical and medical issues. This is another big problem which has to be considered. It's not einfach, it's not simple. You put five people on a spaceship and to send them, if it's safe, it's technical feasible. There are a number of issues which are very seriously studied by the ethical committees. So one of them, of course, is how to handle the sexual desire. So the question is, shall we send all male, all female, mixed crew? There has been serious problems, especially on long-duration Russian mission, on which they have pretty woman astronaut and men. Of course, this is in our nature. So it's a problem that has to be handled and discussed. The other dramatic problem is what to do if one of the astronauts on a flight to Mars, which will last altogether almost 2 years, if one of them becomes seriously terminal sick, cancer, for instance, what shall we do with them? How to handle the problem? Another question is preventive surgery, for instance, to remove the appendix, because if they have a problem with the appendix during the flight, it will not be so easy to make a surgical operation. So I know now it's not done anymore, but at the early time of space flight, all the astronauts, the visite, the teeth of wisdom teeth, I don't know how it is in English, you know, they have these teeth you get when you are 20 or 21. They took out the teeth of all these astronauts. It was a condition to be able to fly. And you know, it's not pleasant. Why? Because there is always a danger that they get a teeth infection during the flight. So these are another question which is addressed. Shall astronaut write a last will in case the mission is, this happened, that we had two shuttle catastrophes, the biggest catastrophe. So the question is, shall we ask these people to write the last will? Genetic screening. Should we this is going into the problem of race. Genetic screening to know if the people are, from the point of view of the genetic structure, adequate to do this flight. Since they are exposed to high radiation, the question is if the astronaut, the male, should provide some sperm to be preserved in order if they want later to have children. And the same is for the female, to provide eggs in case they are subject to high radiation and the genetic material is damaged after the flight. So that's another question. Mutation for cosmic radiation. The working hours shall not exceed the 48. It's already in Switzerland, we work now 48 hours a week. 42? Oh, well, we are retired, but 42. In France is about 30. In Russia, I don't know, in China, how long is the working week? 42? So we cannot ask them to work 50 or 60 hours a week because the workload will not be so healthy. The amount of cosmic radiation to which they are exposed should not increase the risk of cancer more than 3% as the risk we have now here on Earth. So this is statistical value. And I think this is one of the big questions because the problem of cosmic radiation has not been solved yet, technically. I told you before the one-way time to communicate between Mars and Earth is between 3 and 22 minutes. So these are problems which are, they are really commission teams of people, of physicians, of medical doctors, of psychologists who are discussing this question, and they should come with a number or rules which should be applied during such kind of flight. Life support system. There is how can they cannot take with them fresh salad, fresh fruit, and so on. How can they have a life support system which provides them with fresh vegetable and enough food and oxygen on such a long mission? And there is a very serious project called MELISSA, which is financed by the European Space Agency. MELISSA is an acronym for Micro Ecological Life Support System Alternative. And there are several laboratories in Europe working at this project. It's, as I said, a complicated project. There are several compartments. Of course, there is the crew compartment, and then there are a number of bioreactors. I was talking yesterday about bioreactors, in which and greenhouses in which vegetables are produced. So the crew will produce waste. Waste is urine is going to be recycled and transformed again in fresh water, in drinking water. So even now on the space station, most of the urine is purified and screened for drinking water. But the feces are going in compartment one together with the part of the plants which cannot be eaten, not edible parts of higher plants, leaves and so on, are going in the first compartment in which the fiber of the plant and the other material is degraded by thermophilic anaerobic bacteria. And this compartment one is producing volatile fatty acids like acetic acid, propionic acid, butyric acid, minerals, and ammonia. And this material is going to the second compartment. Meanwhile, this compartment is producing also CO2, which can be used by the plants. You know, the plants are consuming CO2 in their metabolism. And compartment 2 contains photoheterotrophic bacteria, very complicated word, and the bacterium most used is the Rhodospirillum rubrum, which is capable. What means photoheterotrophic? It means that it needs photo, it needs light to work, and it works only with organic material like fatty acids. It cannot work with inorganic material. But out of this compartment, the microbes are growing and they can produce food for the astronaut, and they produce ammonia and also CO2. Ammonia and minerals are going to another important compartment, which is compartment 3, in which nitrifying bacteria like Nitrosomonas transforms the ammonia in nitrate. And you know that these nitrates are very important in agriculture. They're used as fertilizer in agriculture. So the nitrate are going in the compartment 4, in which higher plants and other bacteria are cultured. So we have the production of higher plants, which are going to produce food, and the waste is going to compartment 1. They're producing oxygen. Plants are producing oxygen and consuming CO2. And water, which is going to the crew compartment. And we have photoautotrophic bacteria, which can grow with anorganic material like CO2. They don't need the carboxylic acid. And they produce something which is sold as at least in Switzerland is not a kind of tofu, but it's similar to tofu and is very tasty and can be used as food for the astronaut. And here we have the higher plant. So you see, this is a complete ecological life support system which can support itself without too much contribution from the outside. Of course, there are big technological problems. It's not easy yet, but it's a very good idea. And I just show you one picture from one of these laboratories in which they are putting up, you see, it's a really precursor prototypes of the bioreactor of the compartment, which should provide, should be then developed for space, for flight to Mars. Here we have a kind of greenhouse. So this is all concentrated on, rather limited space exploration, flight to Mars, and fly back, hopefully. Now let's look, going first to Mars, but for longer time. And there was a fascinating article in Nature, which, as you know, is a very serious magazine, in 91, so 20 years ago. And the title was Bringing Mars to Life. And the idea here is a serious paper of about 15 pages. They were making calculation and looking how would it be possible to make Mars viable for us. Just a few minutes ago, I was telling you that we are sterilizing all the material going to Mars because we don't want to contaminate Mars. Here is exactly the contrary. The idea is to bring to Mars first very primitive organisms, very primitive plants, very primitive organisms which could survive on the surface to Mars, work with the soil, consume CO2 and produce oxygen, and then water. There is a lot of water on Mars. And the forecast, the calculation are saying that it would be possible to make Mars viable. That means we can walk on Mars without a scaphander, like we walk here on the Earth. It would take about 300 to 400 years. So this is a long-term project. It will be difficult to convince politicians to invest more in that. But at least this will be an idea by which Mars could be made viable to humans. And since we are trying to do the best to destroy the blue planet in which we live, maybe one day we will have to escape and go and start a new life on Mars. When I was here 2 years ago giving this course, I met in the hotel an old friend of mine, Yamashita, a Japanese, who was here for a meeting in which people were discussing the possibility of make agriculture on Mars. This was 2 years ago. I was in the hotel and for breakfast, and all of a sudden I saw my old friend Yamashita, and so we come in contact, and he sent me his paper, and effectively there are in Japan study in which they are trying to produce food, for instance, from silkworm. So the sweet potato powder, rice, soybean, and silkworm pupa can be used to make nice cookies. Instead of baking powder, amylase, aspergillus, and so on. And so they are really attempt from very simple material which can be grown also on a space station to make good food, not bad food. And here also is another astronaut, is an American astronaut of, Leroy Chow, or I guess of Chinese origin, who was one of the astronauts on one of our space lab mission, who is happy to try to eat cookies made with silkworm pupas. So this is life support and food support for astronauts in the future. Now, problems of extrasolar exploration. Now I'm talking colonizing Mars, making Mars viable, but also go beyond Mars. And there will be, as I repeat again, cosmic radiation, immunodeficiency, we have heard enough, and psychological problems. And the technological problems are the long distances. It will take years to go. It will take about 1 year if you can fly with light, 300,000 kilometers per second. It will take 1 year to go to the star which is most close to our sun system, which is Alpha Centauri. And there are a problem of friction with micrometeorites. You can imagine that all our universe is full with dust, and there will be a friction between the spaceship and the dust. We could damage the spaceship, and also collision with larger meteorites. Now, there are projects. We are saying that we would be able, probably they would be able, our technology will allow us to make spaceship flying at one-third of the speed of light. One-third of the speed of light would mean 100,000 kilometers per second. And the idea is very simple. If you are in weightlessness, out of the gravitational field of the sun or our planets, you can give small impulse, just small impulses, and you can accelerate the speed of the spaceship without using too much fuel. So this is possible once you have left the solar system. But there are problems which have to be solved. And this, of course, our project will maybe in 100 or 200 years.